Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a show full of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. And now here is your host, Nicola Beer, who specializes in a proven 10-step program to help couples increase their love, passion, and happiness in their marriage in 30 days or less, guaranteed.
Hi and welcome, this is Nicola Beer and I'm excited to talk to you today about money. Money comes up in lots of relationships, whether it's a relationship between our parents and us, whether it's romantic relationships. Money can be a source of dispute, a source of conflict, a source of stress and tension. So today what I'm going to be covering is money mindsets. What is your money mindset? And how discovering what money mindset you have and what other people have in your close relationships can often help to release some of that stress and tension and hopefully for you to be able to find a way forward. There is no disputing the fact that money, or in most cases the lack of it, is now the leading cause of stress in a relationship, often leading to unnecessary arguments and breakups. If we're talking about romantic relationships, it's an issue that is rarely understood and seldom talked about. Whether couples fight about a lack of money, unemployment, out of control spending and credit card debts, or being unable to agree on how much to save or spend, managing one's money matters more than we think. And it starts with a basic understanding of our money mindset and the mindset of our partner, our parent, sibling, or whoever we've got a money conflict with. So what is a money mindset? A money mindset is our thoughts and beliefs about money. More importantly, it's about what money means to us. Does money mean pleasure to you? Or freedom? This comes down to the simple idea of whether someone prefers to save or spend, and more importantly, why. As with most beliefs, our ideas about money are hidden so deep within the realms of our subconscious mind and our conscious awareness that most of us don't even know that they're there. And if we do know that they're there, sometimes we feel powerless to change them, that they're just actually part of us when we can change them and we can have freedom, which is what I'm going to be sharing with you later. These subconscious money beliefs can steer our lives in certain ways, often causing havoc when we get into a long-term serious relationship with a partner, or when we have a money discussion or issue with our parents or with our siblings. Different ideas about money can come up. When a couple has opposing ideas, or when we have opposing ideas with someone we're close to about what money means to them, it can really open the door to conflict. So just by being aware that you and your partner, or you and your parent or sibling, probably have different money mindsets, can definitely help to give awareness to the relationship and to have empathy and compassion for where you're coming from. And the good thing is that if you do identify that you do have a money mindset that you wish you could change, the truth is you can change it. I've helped many people in relationships, many individuals change their money mindset. I had to change my own money mindset, and I'll be sharing about that as we go through. And whilst a lot of what I'm saying applies to married couples who argue over finances, what I'm going to be sharing today can also work for individuals who are in financial conflict with family members over assets. I've helped resolve countless family financial disputes, as well as help individuals who've been financially cut off from or abused by family members following the death of a parent, an aunt, an uncle or grandparent. So these tips can give insight, although tread very carefully if there is financial abuse at play. So what is financial abuse? And I'll just go into this very quickly before we get into the money mindset. Financial abuse is basically where money is being used against someone to manipulate them, to blackmail them, or to punish someone. If you are being financially abused, or are confused about whether you are or you aren't, or you're being controlled and you're feeling stuck, then do reach out to me. No one deserves to be put up with any kind of abuse. And it doesn't matter whether it's not physical or emotional abuse, financial abuse can be just as painful, just as life-trapping and crushing. So please do contact me. Now, my website is blissfulrelationships.com, www.blissfulrelationships.com. That's how you can find me. And do reach out if that's happening for you. Let's get into the money mindset, identifying your money mindset. Now, if you have a pen and paper handy, you may want to make some notes. Obviously, if you're driving, that's not possible for you. So you may want to listen to this once or twice just to get an understanding if you're listening to this podcast whilst you're on the go. Life is about a journey. It's not the destination. This is a popular quote, and it's worth remembering when we're thinking about financial conflicts in a relationship. Whether both partners, parents, whatever, have different opposing views and beliefs about money, not only are they travelling on different paths in life, but they're ultimately headed towards different destinations. To avoid this is simple. Know thyself. When we really know who we are and what we want and why we want it, we can bring about long-lasting change. There are generally five types of categories that people fall into when it comes to money mindset. We have the spender, the miser, the money hater, the money seeker, and the believer. By taking the time to identify which categories you and your loved ones fall into is the first step in taking control of your finances and reducing any financial conflict. So let's go to the first one, spenders. Spenders by nature will typically make purchases that are beyond their means, often purchasing things to make themselves happy. They'll typically feel good after spending money. And money is associated with happiness and pleasure. When someone tries to control or limit their spending, it will often feel like that person is trying to take away their pleasure in life and thus result in conflict. Spenders live for pleasure and they get pleasure out of spending money. And they believe that money can bring them happiness and they're very attached to money and spending it. It can also be people that just spend money that have always had money. And sometimes, I remember being in a relationship with someone for quite some time. He would always spend his salary within the first couple of days of the month. And then white knuckle the rest of the month. And you know what I mean by white knuckle, like literally be counting down the days to the next payday. And he just loved to spend. And he grew up in a family where money was abundant. He didn't need or want for anything. His parents have several houses. They have lots of family money, lots of inheritance in the family. For him, it didn't matter really that he was spending all of his salary because subconsciously in his mind, he knew that if he really, really needed money, there was money in the family. So sometimes our spending habits can be related to our childhood. So the next one is misers. So misers, people who fall into this category fear poverty, constantly worry about not having enough money to live on. And they may be stingy. And they're often generally uncomfortable with any sort of uncertainty around money, as they really feel the need to control money. They really feel the need to have that stable job, to make sure they're not spending. Now, the thing about misers is they spend very little, or they're always trying to get away with spending the less as possible. And this can be, interestingly enough, whether they have money or not. Even if they won the lottery, they would still not want to spend money, because they fear scarcity. They fear poverty. They fear not having enough money. And so they're very, very careful. They're very, very cautious. And often these people they will not only be stingy with other people and with tips and things like that, but they'll also be stingy with themselves. They also won't treat themselves. They may not treat themselves to certain luxuries or high quality food or holidays and things because they don't feel they're worth it. This can sometimes be a trait, not always, but sometimes they can be very limiting on themselves. Whenever someone presents a new opportunity to them, then the first thing that they may think about is, how much is that going to cost me? What's the damage? And everything is weighed up against money. And I see this sometimes in my coaching, people who are wanting a change, wanting to change their life, wanting to self-love more, wanting to have healthier relationships, wanting to heal from an abusive past, or wanting to build their confidence. And yet they don't feel they're worth spending money on investing in themselves. And it's really sad because you can tell that they really want it, and yet they don't value their selves enough to invest in themselves. So that's the misers. The reason I relate to that one so much, and the reason maybe you heard my tone of voice change slightly, is because I used to be like that. I used to be a miser. I grew up where we didn't have hardly any money at all. My mum was raising us on benefits. There were five of us. My dad kept losing his job and then going in and out of employment when I was growing up. There was a lot of arguments around money between my parents and the lack of money. I thought money was stressful. I thought that money made you miserable. My mum would often say that the lack of money was the reason that she was aggressive towards me, aggressive towards us, and shouting. And I really thought that, God, if you don't have money, your life is miserable. If you don't have money, your life is not worth living. You know, that is the underlying message that I got. So I used to be a complete miser. I used to be very stingy, not only with others, but also with myself. And then, you know, I'd want relationships where I'd attract someone who was generous. But if you're not being generous with yourself, you're not going to attract someone that's going to be generous to you. That was my experience. It's really interesting to learn these so we can change them. The next one is haters. Now, these people also lived in deprived conditions often, or they feel very jealous. They've got that jealous tendency in them. And so these people may purposely avoid material possessions and spending, or they may strive to get money, but it doesn't happen for them because they're giving the message to the universe. They're giving out, I hate money, I hate money. And this detesting money, what it does to people is it creates a negative vibe inside of them, a negative at heart around people having money. And rather than seeing the good that money can do and does do in the world, they're solely focused on the problems that money has and the problems that money can bring and associated with having money. So they see money as evil, or people that have money as evil. It's a really sad way to live, actually, and I have a lot of sympathy for people that have that as a mindset. The next one is seekers. The money seeker is sort of person who obsesses over becoming wealthy. It's all they think about. It's all they really want. They're driven by financial success. And for these people, having money and wealth is the ultimate goal. They believe that making a fortune will solve all of their problems. They can either be avid savers trying to make as much money as possible, or avid spenders striving for material possessions. Either way, it's the strong desire for making and having money that drives them. And then there is the believers. This money mindset is associated with financial freedom. It's freedom around money. It's a gratitude for what you have and where you are. No matter how much money you have or how little you have, it's being grateful. It's appreciation for whatever you do have. Appreciation for shelter, appreciation for food. And it's also about trust. It's about trusting the universe. It's about trusting yourself. It's about trusting life, that things are going to be okay. It's not stressing about finances. It's about believing that everything's going to work out and you have exactly the right amount of money that you are meant to have in this moment. It's about really believing. The thing is, we're born like this. We're born not understanding money. So we just believe that money's going to be there. And what we have, and that's great. And it's only when we listen to adults' fears, limitations, and beliefs, limiting beliefs, that our money mindset changes. And yet through self-awareness and a belief in something greater than ourselves, money can become a means, but not a means to an end, and not something evil. And I was a miser, and I managed to become a believer that money is just money. It's just paper. It's just an exchange. It's an energy exchange. And when we see money as an energy exchange, it no longer has that hold on us, and we can become free. Now, I struggled with money for many, many years. And so if any of you are listening to this and thinking, wow, I want to transition my money mindset, then do reach out to me. You can just email me at nb, so the initials NB for Nicola Beer, nb@nicolabeer.com. So let's go into the next step, changing our money mindset or helping us resolve conflicts. So the first step is to ask yourself why you believe it, why you have this money mindset. When we can identify which category describes us the best, the next step is to look at why. For example, if we're a spender, we may not consciously want to spend, but feel driven to. In this instance, it's important to take a step back, to look at where we may have picked up this belief. Did something to us happen in the past that made us decide the need to spend money to feel good? What did your parents do? Are you doing the same as them? Or are you doing the exact opposite? If you grew up in a home that was overly strict and money was never spent, could this have ignited the idea in you that you never want to be like this and you never want to be living in a tight environment, so you became a spender? Sit down and ask yourself as many questions as you can to uncover why you believe what you do about money. When you see the reason why and have uncovered the pattern, you can then look at how your beliefs differ from those that you're having a financial conflict with or financial stress with. You can see that, wow, we are just coming to whatever this financial argument is from our different mindsets. And these mindsets are often so driven and installed in us, and they come often from our childhood or from emotionally significant events. If you lost your job, if you lost a business, if you had it all and lost everything, if you witnessed someone you love have it all and lose everything, these can affect us. Sometimes even watching a movie and really getting attached to the story. If it's about someone gaining lots of money or losing lots of money or someone evil with money, that can affect our money mindset. So where are these beliefs coming from? Are they serving you or are they not serving you? That's the key. And the next thing, so let's take this back to you having a financial argument or dispute with someone, you can look at how you can compromise this. Let's say you and your partner have uncovered that you have different money mindsets. How do you move forward together as a couple in financial harmony? One of the first things you can do is look at what you can do to accommodate both of your needs. How can you compromise? If one of you is a saver and the other one is a spender, look at ways you can reshuffle your finances so that money is saved and yet spent at the same time, and both partners feel that their needs are being addressed. For example, I have couples come to me with this issue all the time when I'm working with them to save their marriage. And the thing we look at is okay, one of you wants more financial freedom, one of you wants more financial control. So let's decide on a figure that you can spend freely as you will and a figure that you're going to save each month. And through working that out, the couple can then find balance, they can feel secure. The person that likes to spend gets a certain amount and they can spend that on whatever they want. They don't have to report in, they can be free. And the other person can know that their goals are going to be achieved because they're saving that set amount. If your differences are really overwhelming, then you can always reach out to me. We can work through it together or work with a family member or a friend or to find someone neutral that you can help to navigate this with you. The next thing is to set small achievable goals and refocus. Setting small financial goals that I can agree on is going to help bring about long lasting change. What do you want to achieve? This could be anything from agreeing to save 10% of one's salary to having a fun pot, which I just sort of mentioned, where monthly money is allocated just for fun. Whatever the financial goals, are they being realistic? Are they in line? And can they give both partners the confidence that their needs are being met? In honesty, relationship issues around finances are never easy, but they can be managed. And it all starts with communication. Communicating one's need is paramount, along with understanding what might be driving each other's financial decisions and actions. It's really important to give you and your loved one compassion for any bad financial choices. We can spend a lot of time in regret. We can spend a lot of time in guilt. These are negative energies and they do not help the relationship. We can spend a lot of time in resentment. And I talk a lot about letting go of resentment, letting go of negativity. And we need to be able to free ourselves from that. Because if we don't, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be having this negative energy in the relationship. And we want to make sure that the relationship that you've got is free from this negative energy. So freeing resentment, freeing negativity in your mind, negative self-talk, letting go of guilt, it's an individual action. It's a gift that you give yourself. Looking back and blaming does not help a couple. And yet I see so many relationships get stuck. And this doesn't have to be just husband and wife. It can also happen if one of the family members is looking after the family business and they're looking after the family money and they've made bad choices. Even though it's really painful and it's really stressful, the best thing to do is to get together and look at, okay, where are we now? Where do we want to be? What tools do we need to get there? And how can I get rid of these horrible energy feelings that aren't helping? At the end of the day, it's really important to look at what is the outcome that you want and what is really important here. Is it your bank account? Is it your relationship? Are finances important enough to come between you? How can you manage it? And I hope you enjoyed this. You know, as I mentioned to you, financial pressure, financial stress is something that I had for many, many years. And I didn't even need to have financial stress. I was actually doing okay, and yet I lived in fear. If you can relate to this and financial fear is on your mind a lot, then do feel free to reach out to me and do visit my website, because I do have a free ebook there, Heal and Love Your Life. This really talks about how to move forward, how to heal anything in our lives. From my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening to this today. I really value you. I wouldn't be able to be doing what I love if it wasn't for my podcast listeners. I'm so, so super grateful. Be kind to yourself. Love yourself. Take care.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free Save My Marriage consultation, please visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com/consult. And if you've enjoyed this episode, Nicola would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on whatever app you're listening through, so the show stays visible, allowing more people to get the support they need to increase their love, passion, and happiness.